members. Good morning, the rep from the AG. Good morning, the colleagues from the department. My name is King Gunene, the committee secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. Firstly, what I would like to highlight is that we are going to mention the apologies. Firstly, we've got an apology of the chairperson who has forwarded her sick leave. She's on sick leave for the whole month. She went for an operation, and then, which then meant that we were supposed to have an acting chairperson since she is not in. And number two, which came as a problem, is that we've got apologies of honorable members. We've got an apology of Honorable November, who is also, we learned yesterday that she's been hospitalized. We have an apology of Mr. Begwa, who has also had to go and see the doctor. We have an apology of Mr. Kappa, who is attending the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture. We have an apology of Mr. Koza, who has attended the Portfolio Committee of Education. And then we've got an apology of Mr. Mulaudzi, who has attended the Portfolio Committee of Transport. And then we've got an apology of Mr. Mwabe, who has also attended the Portfolio Committee on Justice. And then lastly, we've got an apology of Rev Mishwe, who just sent an SMS to our committee assistant. So in view of the apologies of the members, we've got members who are only three in our meeting, which then created a situation where we cannot correct. Honorable. I'm seeing the hand of Mr. Mabasa.
Yes, no, I think it is an unfortunate situation because we have got almost all the committees sitting, and on the side of the ANC, primarily all the members serve in at least two committees. So you find, and this is not our regular day, that's what makes things worse. So that is a day that belongs to other portfolio committees. But in view of what you are saying, Secretary Gunene, I would propose that we ask you to facilitate the meeting because we don't even courage to elect an acting chairperson. So to facilitate right up to the end. And we must extend an apology to our guests here that this is the unfortunate situation that we are facing of just as I explained. And the apologies that have been rendered by the secretary, especially those of illness, those two are hospital cases, you know. There's no way they could have made it to the meeting. So the fact that we are so few, so thin, it's not a show of disrespect to yourselves. We really do apologize. But thanks, Secretary Nene.
I'm seeing the end of Mr. Honorable Chance.
Thank you, King. I would like to second the proposal that you facilitate the meeting. I think that the chief whip's or the whip's assessment of the situation is appropriate. And again, I want to add our apology to members of the Auditor General's Office for the rather slim pickings of members. But anyway, we'll be here and we'll give your presentation our fullest attention. Thank you.
Thank you. In view of the two proposals, of the proposal that has been seconded, we will just state up front that it's going to be an informal meeting, because as a secretary, I wouldn't share the meeting of the members, so it should be known that it's an informal sharing information and then just facilitating, so I will not be held liable for the resolution. On behalf of, because I have not been sworn as a member. thank you very much. The other thing that maybe the members would like to know is just the tight schedule of the term and the tight schedule of the AG, whereby they have demarcated this date for this committee. So from then we can continue with the meeting. I will then hand over to the AG as per the agenda, whereby we're just going to get the briefing from the AG on the other performance of the department. Thank you.
Thank you. I can still say Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, my name is Ahmed Mullah, and I was responsible for the audit of the Department of Small Business Development. Let me introduce, on my right is the manager on the audit. Her name is Malika Groenewald, and she's happy to be back home here in Cape Town, even if it's only for one day. Many man hours went into this audit. It was the first audit of the Department of Small Business Development. And our role here today is basically to reflect on the audit work that we did, to reflect on the audit outcomes, so to assist the committee in its role of oversight. What I have with me today is a presentation. I have the audit outcomes of the department. You would know that today there are many of these presentations going on. I got three portfolios, small business, human settlements, as well as the Department of Women, and all three of them are running at the same time today. So because it was the first year of operation of this department where it stood alone, where it produced its separate annual report, its separate set of financial statements, its separate performance report, I thought it better that I be today at this presentation here today. So hopefully my presentation will assist you to enable oversight to focus on areas that will lead to good governance at the department. Look, what we do at the Auditor General is basically we audit three different areas. And the first one is that of the fair presentation and reliability of the financial statements. Nothing different that from that you would see in the private sector. We would audit the financial statements. We would express an opinion on the financial statements. Those are your unqualified, qualified opinions. And then what we also do is we look at the reliability and the credibility of the performance information. In the annual performance report, there's a separate report there, and it's called the annual performance report, where the performance information is presented. We also review that information there. I'll go into more detail as to what we do there later. But our third area is compliance with key legislation on financial and performance management. Key to this is look at whether to review whether the department and the public entities have complied with key legislation, which is normally the Public Finance Management Act, the Treasury regulations, and all the supply chain management regulations that go with that. So you will see our audit report, which is included in your annual report. You'll see that we split it into three different parts. You'll see that it has a conclusion on the financial statements, where we express an opinion. The next part you'll see where we'll report on our factual findings on performance information. And then the third part, we'll report on compliance with key legislation. So these are the three key focus areas, three key areas that we look at when we perform an audit.
We have slides here where we explain what the audit outcomes are, where we explain the difference between an unqualified opinion, the financially unqualified opinion with findings, of unqualified opinion with no findings. Let me not lose myself here. What happens is the Auditor General classifies audit outcomes of government into four different categories. An unqualified opinion with no findings is what is referred to as a clean audit, and the color that we use to describe that is green. Then we have a financially unqualified opinion with findings. And unqualified with findings means the financial statements are correct, they're 100% correct. We've verified the financial statements, we've audited the financial statements. There was nothing material or significant in there for me to conclude that it is not fairly presented. However, with findings means that I either had findings on performance information or compliance with legislation or both. Okay? So this is what we classify as a, we use the color yellow to describe this here. So you got your unqualified with no findings, which is a clean audit, which is the desired audit outcome. This is the audit outcome that you desire. This is the one that you want. This is the one that you'll be rewarded for, an unqualified audit opinion. A financially unqualified opinion with findings is a decent audit opinion. However, it is not the ultimate. It's not what you want at the end of the day. The third one, then you get your financially qualified with findings. This is where we experience challenges in auditing the financial statements. There were some misstatements in the financial statements. These misstatements were material, and we would then include it's a very negative audit opinion to have. And then you get your adverse and your disclaimer. Your adverse and disclaimer, your adverse opinion is when our disagreement with management or our differences, they were so significant that they were actually pervasive and that we would have had to issue an adverse opinion. A disclaimer, in my opinion, is probably one of the worst opinions to have, because that is where you cannot give us enough information to audit. So had we been auditing, say, expenditure, and you couldn't give us, couldn't give us invoices to verify that expenditure, then we would then issue a disclaimer of audit opinion. It depends how pervasive the issue is. So the 2015-16 audit outcomes that we have included for the entities in the portfolio of small business, and those that we audit, the Auditor General audits. We audit Small Enterprise Development Agency, which is SEDA, and the Department of Small Business Development, which we refer to as DSBD. We've included, so this is the first audit outcome for the Department of Small Business. However, I've included the comparable outcomes for SEDA over the last three financial years. So we've tried to paint a picture for you over the last three financial years, over the financial period from 2013-14 to 15-16, so you can see the movement over the years. Look, SEDA was initially unqualified with findings. However, SEDA has moved to a clean audit. So you'll see that 50% there reflected as green is SEDA. That is the best audit outcome which SEDA has. It's unqualified. There were no findings on compliance, no significant or material findings on compliance with legislation, no significant findings on performance information. Okay? I think, and it is my view, that as a first-year department, the Department of Small Business did reasonably okay. All right. It hasn't received the best audit outcome. It's one step away. So it's in the yellow. It needs to move to green. You know, they say we're going green. I think the department can go green. All it takes now to go green, to get a clean audit, is we've identified where the issues are in the department. We've got an audit report. We've identified where the significant issues are. We've identified through our management reports and our audit reports what are the root causes or what are the concerns or what are the issues. All management have to do is implement. And leadership will play a very, very important role to ensure whatever actions we've identified, whatever root causes we identified, that should be addressed. So it's leadership's role. It's in leadership's hands now to take the department forward to get a clean audit outcome. The three-year trend when it comes to compliance with legislation is SEDA initially in the past 2 years, in 14-15 and 13-14, had non-compliance reported in their audit reports. This year they didn't. Like I said, they had a clean audit. At the department, there was some non-compliance reported in the audit report, and these related to the financial statements, which were subject to material adjustments. Inadequate monitoring of supply chain management resulted in non-compliance with supply chain management legislation. Inadequate review of the strategic plan resulting in non-compliance with the Treasury regulations. The strategic plan issue related to a strategic plan which didn't include objectives and indicators. And at CEDA, the improvement was mainly due to leadership. leadership who implemented actions to address the issues that were raised in the past. The issue that was identified in CEDA in the previous financial year in 14-15 was financial statements that were subject to material adjustments. And management had implemented measures to ensure that that does not recur. They had proper set of financial statements, they had supporting schedules attached to these financial statements, and they consistently monitored compliance with laws and regulations. The third graph talks about the annual performance report. The annual performance report and the annual performance plan. What we do at the AG is we audit the annual performance report. It's fine to say that, although we don't express an opinion. Our audit work is split into two sections, yeah, or into two types of elements. The one is usefulness, and the one is reliability. Okay? Usefulness talks to, we look at the annual performance report, and we look at it to determine if it's consistent with the annual performance plan. If it's consistent. So that, have you reported on all the objectives, indicators, and targets that were predetermined? Have you reported on all of them? And have you reported on things that weren't initially planned for? That would have been an inconsistency. So you've agreed your annual performance plan with your executive. It's important that you report against that annual performance plan only and not other objectives and indicators. So that's the first look of consistency. Then we look at whether the indicators and the targets are well-defined and smart, whether they're clear, they're specific, they're time-bound, they're achievable, they're relevant, and they shouldn't be ambiguous, okay? So this is when we talk about usefulness. So at the department, we had an issue with usefulness. There were some indicators that were not well-defined, and there were some targets that were not specific enough. There was also an inconsistency issue where one target, which was planned for in the annual performance plan, was not reported on in the annual performance report. So these findings were significant enough that we had to include it in the audit report. So if you look at the audit report of the Department of Small Business, you'll pick up a consistency issue and indicators that are not well defined. Thus, we would classify under the heading of usefulness. Okay, so that was our first part of the audit on the annual performance report. The second part relates to the quality of the submitted annual performance reports, and it talks about reliability. Now, what we're doing is whatever is reported on as an actual achievement. So, for instance, the target was to achieve a policy, develop a policy on small business. What we would do is look at, and the department would then say that this was achieved, one policy was developed. We would verify if that policy was developed. So that is reliability of the information. When it came to the reliability of the information, there were no significant findings that we included in the audit report. We could, the information provided for in the annual reports of, in the annual performance report of CEDA and small business was reliable. We could verify it. However, initially, when it was submitted for audit on the 31st of May, it contained errors. These errors were subsequently corrected by the department, okay? But they weren't picked up by the processes of the internal control processes of the department. So what it is an internal control deficiency. So we'll talk about the root causes later. But basically, our message in this area here is on the quality of annual performance report is there needs to be proper processes in place. So initially, you start off by having a policy, okay? Having proper templates in place and having proper monitoring processes in place to ensure what is reported both in your quarterly reports and in your annual performance report is valid, it is accurate, and it is complete. We could easily identify the errors that were in the annual performance report. We reported it to management. Management subsequently adjusted their report. Okay? So we're talking about proper review processes that need to be established. Okay? It was both an issue at both CEDA and at the Department of Small Business. On the next slide, we talk about the status of key controls. To ensure you get a clean audit, these three areas, the areas of leadership, financial and performance management, and governance, need to be functioning at a level of good and not concerning or not intervention required. If you look at this, at the Department of Small Business, which is the first column, you'll see that there are some controls which we've identified as good, but there are numerous that are yellow or red. Okay? In terms of leadership, oversight, responsibility, if you look at the audit outcome of the Department of Small Business, I did say it was a decent audit outcome, but it can be better. And if leadership exercises more oversight over things like developing action plans to address matters that were previously raised by internal and external audit, these kind of issues that we reported in the audit report won't be there anymore. Also, oversight over compliance with legislation to ensure and monitor that policies and procedures are being applied consistently, that they are being applied each time, every time, 100% of the time, to ensure that there is no deviation from the supply chain management prescripts or the treasury regulations is very important. Effective HR management, you need to understand that the department was newly established. There were vacancies in key positions. For instance, the CFO position was vacant. There was an acting incumbent, but it wasn't a CFO at the level of someone who was skilled as the current CFO is or as the CFO should be, someone who had the experience also. And this then, even in the areas of performance information and even in the areas of compliance, so in supply chain management there were some vacancies. In the areas of finance there were some vacancies. In the areas of performance information or performance management, there was also some vacancies. Because the department was new and there were vacancies and it takes time to fill these positions. But it will be very important now, and it's one of the proposed recommendations that we made to the portfolio committee is to continuously monitor through your engagements with the department to see if these key positions are filled. If these key positions are filled, it will go a long way in working towards a clean audit, or in getting a clean audit. Okay? Because also the department was newly established, there were issues with your daily disciplines of proper record keeping, issues of regular and accurate complete financial and performance reports. There were deficiencies in these areas, as well as review, monitor, and compliance with legislation. In terms of governance, risk management, all of the internal audit and audit committee, the department does have, I think it's good that the department did have an internal audit function. I mean, in the first year of operation, internal audits were conducted. There was an internal audit plan. There were findings that emanated from the audit work that was done, internal audit work that was done, which is a positive. But it will be very important going forward, well, from now, that internal audit be proper capacitated. That it doesn't consist only of one individual. It has a full-blown internal audit team. I think the department also did well in the area of establishing an audit committee. The audit committee was established in December 2015, and it played its role. In terms of fulfilling its legislative mandate, the audit committee did. However, because it was only appointed late in the financial year, nine months down in December 2015, it couldn't fulfill all its duties as it's required because of its late appointment. So it wasn't there throughout for the full 12 months. However, we need to take into account that it was a newly established department and progress was being made. We've also assessed the assurance providers per level. Our assurance is split between the best level of assurance, which is provides assurance, and provides limited to no assurance. At both CEDA and at small business, at CEDA we've assessed all your assurance providers from all the way down from senior management right down to the audit committee as providing assurance. The reason for this is CEDA had a clean audit. I mean, it had no significant findings in the areas of performance information, compliance with legislation, leadership's commitment also, I mean, management's attitude towards any finding that we raise or any issue identified, they immediately implement some sort of intervention to resolve the matter. At the department, management is providing some assurance, which is better than providing limited to no assurance, but not good enough in terms of providing assurance in terms of green. More, this is because most of the findings were under the control of the senior management, the accounting officer, internal audit, the senior management and the accounting officer. And we think that I'm fairly comfortable that the assurance provided by senior management, it'll be nice to see what it looks like 12 months from now. Okay? The department was newly established. There were some policies and procedures. They were reliant partly on the Department of Trade and Industry. Its DG only started in September, I think September 2015. A CFO only started in March, April 2016. So all of these challenges work towards the department getting that yellow, providing some assurance. However, let's think about it. The issues are on the table now. We know the areas that need to be worked on. Compliance with legislation when it came to supply chain management, complete financial statements, performance information issues in terms of having a complete and accurate performance report, as well as an annual performance plan that's compliant with the framework determined by Treasury. So those are the issues that are on the table, and it's up to these assurance providers, mainly senior management and the accounting officer, to fix this now, to correct this now. So this is our message. My message is that the issues are on the table. Management needs to maintain what they have in the areas that they did well. However, there are improvements required in some areas. And they can improve in these areas, and this will work towards getting a clean audit. So we would also propose to the portfolio committee later in this document that when engaging with the department also, it might be important, or it is important, that the committee follow up with the department, at least on those matters that we reported in the 15-16 audit report. So we've reported on the financial statements that had errors in it when it was submitted for audit, and for the portfolio committee possibly to follow up with the department, with the DG, as to what processes have now been established to ensure that this does not recur. Okay? We've made recommendations in terms of establishing or preparing these financial statements quarterly, and by making sure there's proper processes like files, and these files are being reviewed and all of those things. So it's our second recommendation that we're making to the portfolio committee in terms of following up. This then concludes our areas on assurance provided per level. The quality of annual performance plan and the quality of the submitted annual performance reports, you'd see there my two headings, and I explained what I do normally, what I do in terms of usefulness. I explained what I do in terms of reliability. You understand an audit is done on a sample basis. We cannot test 100%. There just isn't time to do so much. And it's also an audit is the inherent limitation of an audit is that we test samples. We can't test 100%. But we focus on the more important programs. So at the department, we've audited program 2, and we've audited program 3. At CEDA, we've audited programs 1, 2, and 4. And in terms of usefulness, I explained earlier, is we had issues in program 2 and program 3. Targets were not consistent and specific. When I say targets not consistent, there was a target that was reported in that was planned for in the APP, but was not reported on in the APR. And there were also some very important indicators which were not well defined. When we say not well defined, is that means the indicator wasn't clear as to what's required from it. It was ambiguous. Okay. Then there were targets which were not specific and important indicators, again not well defined in program 3. So this is what we've included in the audit report. The positive side is at the end of the day, after management made adjustments to the APR at both CEDA and at small business, there were no material findings that we had to report on in the audit report of when it came to performance information. With regards to compliance with laws and regulations, findings on compliance with key legislations, material misstatements in the submitted annual financial statements. We've reported this year at Small Business. We've reported last year at CEDA. So CEDA has improved in this area. Management of procurement and contract management is the department had irregular expenditure amounting to about 1.8 million rand. And this was where procurement was made without following a tender process. This has been included in the audit report of the department. Findings on compliance with key supply chain management legislation is what I explained now, the 1.8 million rand, uncompetitive or unfair procurement processes. It speaks to the tender that wasn't awarded. A normal quotation process was followed. The AG has been talking about the quality of submitted financial statements for many years now. I've been doing presentations to different portfolio committees since, I think, 2011 now. And, I mean, every year I have something to say, and I think it's important, and we think it's very important, is the quality of the submitted financial statements. You understand how the legislation works is in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, an entity with the year end, so the department and CEDA with year ends of 31st March, have until the 31st of May to submit to me financial statement, to submit for audit financial statement. That's section 55 of the PFMA, I think. And when these financial statements are submitted to me on the 31st of May, I then start auditing these financial statements. And I identify errors in these financial statements. These errors at Small Business this year were material errors. They were material errors that, if not corrected, would lead to a qualification or worse. So it would have led to a qualification this year. But the message is not about telling you that there were errors in the financial statements. My message is that something needs to be done about the quality of financial statements. It shouldn't be seen, financial statements shouldn't be seen as an annual event because it's not an annual event. There's financial statements should be prepared, a full proper set of financial statements should be prepared on a quarterly basis. The departments do prepare some sort of reports that they have to submit to National Treasury on a quarterly basis, but these need to be beefed up. There need to be a proper set of financial statements as the set that you need to submit in your annual report. It needs not only to be completed or prepared, it needs to be verified, it needs to be substantiated by proper evidence, by proper schedules, by needs to be checked by internal audits. It needs to be a real good set of financial statements, you know, because important oversight committees, I mean, or people who are responsible with governance and oversight within the department and outside the department make decisions based on these financial statements. And if the figures in the financial statements are not accurate and they're not complete, what kind of decisions will be taken? That is my question. So I would propose, and I think I did mention it earlier also, that if the portfolio committee could always follow up with the department in terms of what is being done to beef up the quality of the submitted financial statements. I think that today is one of my more important messages. Unauthorized, irregular, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure has gone up over the 3 years. It's mainly at the department. Look, fortunately, there has been no unauthorized expenditure. Mm-hmm. And unauthorized expenditure is normally expenditure which is not in accordance with the budget, or overspending of the budget or program. Normally, as departments, if you exceed your vote, then you would be in a position where you've incurred unauthorized expenditure and you'd have to face SCOPA. Expenditure incurred in vain and could have been avoided is fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure was identified or that is reported here was at CEDA, that's the 680,000 rand. And this was due to overpayments made to suppliers and some penalties and interest which was incurred here. This has been identified by CEDA themselves, have disclosed it in their financial statements, and are following up to find out who's responsible and who's accountable and how to recover this funds. The 1.8 million I've mentioned earlier is irregular expenditure, and this is expenditure incurred in contravention of legislation. This is mostly because of the department did not go out and tender for certain training. It should went out and tender, but in terms of the legislation, it was supposed to go out on tender, but it obtained quotations rather. So this was a significant non-compliance and resulted in 1.8 million rand of irregular expenditure. Both at CEDA for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure and at the department, investigations have been lodged to determine, or management is looking into who should be held accountable for the irregular expenditure and who should be held accountable for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In conclusion, root causes, follow-up commitments and proposed recommendations. In the past, auditors, they audited and they would tell you that these are the errors in your financial statements, these are the findings we have, but they never helped you move forward because they never told you what the root causes were or what can be done going forward. So part of my job is, and where a lot of time is actually spent, is to determine what was the actual reason for this. And the root cause at the department is mainly because of vacancies in key positions. The department's vacancies in key positions necessitates continuous intervention to ensure the internal control environment to ensure basic accounting principles are enforced. If there's nobody there, or if there's to do the work, then it's not going to happen. The non-compliance will persist, the errors in the financial statements will persist, the performance information issues will also persist if these vacancies in key positions are not filled timeously. We've engaged with the minister in July, prior to issuing of the audit report. Our audit outcomes were discussed with the minister, and we will continue to engage with the minister, or at least attempt to engage with the minister on a quarterly basis. So our engagements we will continue is the accounting officer, that is the DG, every quarter, and the minister. What we will highlight in those documents, in our discussions with the minister and the DG, is what are the internal control deficiencies that exist at the department and what can be done to resolve these internal control deficiencies and in attempt in with the vision of obtaining a clean audit at the end of the day. Honorable Chairperson, I've taken the time to make some proposed commitments to the Portfolio Committee. And we're asking that the Portfolio Committee request management to provide feedback on the implementation and progress of action plan during the quarterly reporting. An action plan is something very nice to have, but an action plan that addresses the real problem and that action plan that is monitored on a continuous basis is the right kind of action plan to have. PC must also request management to provide quarterly feedback on the status of key controls, also progress on the filling of vacancies at key management positions or at key management level, and also a list of action taken against transgressors must be provided for quarterly for follow-up. CEDA has got a clean audit. It will be up to their leadership and up to management in that entity to continuously to keep up what they're doing. Small business is there. It's closed. It's first year of operation. It can improve. If these key positions are filled and if management and leadership take my findings to heart, take it, acknowledge those findings and develop actions to address those issues, but real actions. Everybody has an action plan, but real actions and follow up on those actions. Without saying too much, Chairperson, I believe that the department can get a clean audit in a year's time. I think in 16-17, it's highly possible. I mean, if you look at the issues, it's not going to take a lot to resolve it, but it will take the dedication and commitment of leadership within the department to resolve those issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mwela. Honorable members, according to the agenda, we had thought that the briefing would go up until 11:15, but since she's, because we played that, we'll have a break at 11:15, but then now I can hand over to honorable members for any indulgence on what the briefing has stated. Honorable Mabasa, followed by Honorable Richards.
Am I understanding you to be saying we can now go into the area of discussion? Is that what you are proposing?
Yes.
Okay. No, thanks, chairperson of the meeting. I want to speak broadly by expressing appreciation for the input, because the impression I got is that the Auditor General does both things. It has a carrot on the one side, but it also has a stick on the other side. It is unlike if the office was just having a stick without a carrot, because we realize that the attitude is to say, yes, as Auditor General's office, these are the weaknesses that we are noting, but we don't leave you alone as the department. We are available to advise you, to walk the journey with you. So this gives us more power as a portfolio committee, because where the department keeps on failing to take corrective measures as advised, it is our duty as a portfolio committee to hammer them. And it's good that they are here so that they can know that we will indeed be using a bigger stick than what the AG's office is using, because the areas have been indicated. I want to speak on the area of vacancies. That we share the concern as raised by the AG's office. And I take it, Chairperson, that it is an opportune time of engaging both the department and the AG's office. Am I reading it correctly? That we are engaging both of them. So, am I correct in that sense? We are moving together. Because we will want an explanation from the department to say, an explanation and a plan, actually, to say, on this key area of vacancies, which has an impact in other areas, what is the plan of the department in addressing that major shortcoming? That's the one question. But the other question will be to say, what is the plan of the department to ensure that the level that has been achieved by CEDA does not deteriorate? In other words, what is the plan of the department in supporting CEDA to sustain its performance level, so that what we expect from CEDA is only to improve? So that you, because if there are no plans, it is very easy for a unit in the department to perform well, and the next financial year to go and slide quite down. So we will be happy to hear how the department intends rendering that support. For now, let me stop there, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Honorable Mabasa. Mr. Chance has just gone out. We can take it. Okay. Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, King, for facilitating this meeting. And thank you for the AG for this presentation. Maybe just one or two questions. CIFA is also a very important part of small business development. And I would like to ask your opinion about the year statements of, or the financial statements of CIFA, if you can. Just a broad overview, because I think the fact is that it's not here today is because it still falls under DTI. I don't know what is the reason why it's not part of this report. That's the one question. The second question is also just an opinion from your side. If on page 13, figure 1, you say that there's material misstatements in submitted annual financial statements, do you think the fact that we have now a permanent CFO will correct this problem? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Honorable Kruger. We'll go back to Honorable Charles.
Thank you.
Do you want it to respond or can you take all the questions?
Sorry, Chairperson, it depends how you want to do it. It's fine.
Let's go to Honorable Charles.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, thank you for the presentation. Very informative. I just have two questions. I'd like you to just go into a bit more detail, please, about the nature of that tender that wasn't actually a tender. You say it was for training. Perhaps you could just explain to us in more detail what the amount was spent on exactly and with whom. And then secondly, there is much expectation that the medium-term financial statement, which the Minister of Finance will be delivering in a couple of weeks' time, is going to be imposing some austerity measures which will likely include further cuts in personnel, which means potentially that the vacancies in the department may not be filled. And how will that affect the ability of the department to produce a clean audit if the vacancies cannot be filled but through no fault of its own, if I may say? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Mr. Moel.
Thank you for the question. CIFA, the Small Enterprise Finance Agency, is I've included the audit outcome on it's on one of the slides. It's on slide 18. CIFA obtained a clean audit, financial statements, no significant issues. Performance information and compliance were no significant issues. CIFA, Small Enterprise Finance Agency, does fall under the Department of Small Business Development. It is, however, not one of the entities that we audit. It is audited by a private firm. How it works is the AG has a discretion in terms of the audits it chooses to audit. However, the auditors of CIFA are appointed in consultation with the AGSA. So CIFA won't just appoint any auditors. It will consult with us initially, and the audit will be performed under, there'll be certain things that they'll have to perform because it is funded by government and it falls under the control. There is a move by the AG to move closer towards his audit. So although I don't audit CIFA, I can attend audit committees and I do attend some of the audit committees. I do review the audit reports and all of those, the management reports before it's released for issue. So we have, from the AG side, some sort of involvement in the audit of CIFA. We do engage with the auditors. We do engage with management. And we have included in one of the slides the audit outcome of CIFA. The material misstatements in the financial statements, I cited it. One of the reasons that the financial statements were misstated was because they didn't have a full-time CFO or adequately a CFO which had an amount of skills and experience as the current CFO does. I believe that the CFO the current CFO, it can be resolved easily. Remember, we've highlighted the instances where the issues are. So management is aware of where the problems are in the financial statements. I think the CFO can address these matters. But I think the key, rather, is will management, together with the CFO, implement measures to make sure that there's complete and accurate financial statements. I think that is the key. You have an adequately skilled and qualified CFO now, but will they implement measures to make sure it doesn't continue? See, the issue with, well, one of the issues with the department is the financial statements. There's a lot of disclosure notes in the financial statements, and those disclosures are sometimes not supported by an automated system. You have to develop manual systems. I'm sorry I'm going into this detail, but for instance, accruals and commitments, you need manual systems. So our focus was, and our recommendations to the department was, to establish these processes and controls to ensure complete and accurate financial statements. Malika, maybe you can help me with the nature of the tender with regards to training.
Basically, what happened here is they procured training services from, I think it was 5 suppliers, and we asked for a list of accredited suppliers for that particular training, and we couldn't get that list from them. And so the amount spent was more than 500,000 rand, therefore obviously it's non-compliance with the trade regulations. I'm not sure if you want the detail of the suppliers. I can't recall the nature of the suppliers, and that resulted in irregular expenditure being incurred because the quotation was followed, not tender process.
So my last question is related to the personnel cut budget, the department might be in a position where they're not adequately funded. They might be in a position where they might not be adequately funded to fill the vacant positions. It's a tough one, but our recommendations to the departments and all the departments that I've audited is what the departments normally do is they prioritize filling the key positions. So the position is key to the functioning of the department. For instance, a CFO position, a head of strategic planning and monitoring, the departments prioritize filling those positions there with budget, where there's funds available, and they freeze other positions. And they freeze other positions which are not critical to the functioning of department or critical to the core of the department. I also think that maybe the department would be maybe better positioned than me to respond to that query. I'm sorry about that. Thank you.
Honorable Kruger.
Just a follow-up on that question. Can the department then give us some feedback on this stage on that question?
I'm seeing you around a chance. Go ahead.
Yes, I think my question was not so much aimed at what the department must be doing to fill those vacancies. The question was really a matter of procedure. In other words, if the department is not able to fill them because of the budget cuts, is the department going to be penalized in the audit for having unfilled vacancies?
Thank you. Chief, I can respond. Look, we won't penalize the department for anything that's beyond their control. So, for instance, there wouldn't be maybe a separate finding to say in the audit report to say that the department had significant vacancies and were unable to fill them because of budget cuts or because of constraints on the budget. However, if there are findings relating to compliance with legislation, material misstatements in the financial statements, financial management concerns, and these findings we would still report on. So if these findings emanated from the reason being that there wasn't somebody in that position, we would continue to report those findings because that would be a concern, that would be a financial management concern, or it would be significant non-compliance with legislation. The department would then have to put measures in place, some sort of mitigating or some sort of compensating control to ensure that there isn't any non-compliance, that financial management is run properly, that the financial statements are complete and accurate, and that the performance information is also complete and accurate.
There's a question from Honorable Mabasa, which I think is directed to the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My colleague, Bridget, will deal with the vacancies one. Let me respond to the second one that was asked by Honorable Mabasa on how we're planning to assist CEDA to maintain the standard. I think we've started to engage with CEDA more intensely in terms of having quarterly meetings, but quarterly meetings are not just focusing on the performance, they're also focusing on the governance issues. For example, if they have challenges that they think the minister should attend to, they present those issues to us. Right now, we are in the process of appointing a new board, not a new board completely, but some members, their terms have expired. So in terms of looking at the critical skills that are going to assist CEDA to maintain the standard, I think we are looking at diverse skills, you know, bringing people on board who are going to make sure that CEDA does not go backwards, instead they go forward. So those are the things that we are instituting. We also have a unit that deals with mainly governance issues. They assist both CEDA and CIFA in terms of dealing with issues around governance so that they can spend the taxpayers' money appropriately. Let me ask Bridget to handle the vacancies.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the vacancies, as already stated by AG, we have focused on filling of critical posts. So the CFO post has been filled, Head of Corporate Services, where HR resides, in terms of the practices when it comes to filling of those vacancies, has also been filled. And then also the strategic head of strategy has also been filled during the financial year. Under review. So, and then continuing going forward is that, as stated before, we had a program review in the last financial year, and so what's currently happening is we are in the process of developing a structure that fits the mandate and supports the mandate of the department. So this structure is going through the approval process. As you would appreciate, when it comes to structure, some departments take years to actually bed down a structure. We've progressed quite substantially in that we have a service delivery model that has been presented to TPSA, and the structure is based on the services that the department delivers. So we have a proposed structure which is going through consultation currently, and then there's a few things in the prescript that has to be done in order for that structure to be approved. So job evaluation process and all of those. Once we've bedded that down and it's been approved, the matching and placing process happens for the current incumbents within the department, and also looking at new posts that would need to be advertised. So we have a project plan that we have been following, and we are on track with the project as it stands. And we have had substantial support from the DPSA as well in this regard. So it's a constant consultation so that at the end of the day, we shorten the process to get that approval so that we can move to the point of filling the key posts. Two of the key posts would be, for example, the DDG post, which we envisaged should be filled by the end of the financial year, the current financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Any follow-up, Honourable Chance?
Thank you, yes.
Followed by Honourable Mabas. Thank you.
Just something else which I'd like to just ask your view on. One of the provisions of the 2004 Act, Small Business Act, was the formation of the National Small Business Advisory Council. Now, I consider this to be a major area of a weakness, in a sense, that the department has not appointed this. And I was wondering whether the Auditor General picked it up. It doesn't. There's no mention of it here. But if you did pick it up, what is your view on it? And if you didn't pick it up, why didn't you pick it up?
Honourable Mabasa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. What I want to ask to the AG's office is, do you get the impression that the department is utilizing you adequately? Because it is a responsibility of the department to ensure that in as much as you are available to them, they are continually in touch with yourselves. And does the AG's office also offer training in an instance where the department has employed new people? Is there a way of a rope to take such so that they quickly fit into the department, or is that left to the department? The last one is the question that was asked by Honorable Kruger, the one of auditing the private firm. Should we understand it to be representing you? In other words, should we see that firm as the AG's office, or does it mean they are functionally a separate body altogether? Because I didn't get a good understanding of the chemistry between your office and that auditing firm. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in response to the issue of the council that was not established, which was required to be established in terms of the Small Business Act. Chairperson, the role of the Auditor General and the role of the auditor is to report on the financial statements. And when you look at the financial statements, you're looking at all of the components of the financial statements. There's numerous numbers in the financial statements, there's numerous disclosures, there's a statement of financial performance, there's a statement of financial position. My responsibility is to audit this, is to verify that what is in that financial statements represents fairly of what took place during that year. That whatever's in those financial statements can be supported by supporting documentation, by schedules and invoices and receipts. So that is my work when it comes to the financial statements. And then we look at the annual performance report. And what we do is we audit the annual performance report also, is we verify that they've complied with the framework for managing program performance information, that it is reported consistently and that it is reported accurately and reliably. That is our work when it comes to the performance report. The auditor doesn't focus on our work is not such that we look at the establishment of this council. So it wasn't something that would have been identified through an audit process. I can follow up now during my next audit, now that the information has become available to me, now that I know it's important to the portfolio committee, I can follow up to determine what's happening in that area. But it wouldn't have normally been picked up to the normal audit processes. I hope that responds to the query on the council. The question relating to whether or not the department is utilizing us adequately, we are continuously engaging with the department and the department with us. When the DG was initially appointed, I think in September 2016, we actually briefed and met with the DG separately, and the DG asked us to discuss with management and to explain to management what an audit is all about, what kind of information require, what we do and how we do it, and the importance of cooperating with us and providing us with consistent information. So I think at times, I think at best that the department did use us in this area. The DG was always available to meet with us when we requested a meeting. to discuss the key controls. The DG displayed, and together with our management team, displayed willingness to address the issues identified to us during our quarterly engagements. We at the AG do not offer any training for newly appointed staff. What we do is we have to maintain that objectivity, and we have to maintain that independence. So what we the only service we provide to our audit team, and that's why we refer to them as an audit team, because we are the appointed auditor in terms of legislation, and so it's not a client service relationship as you would see in the private sector. So we're not allowed to perform any additional work, or we don't perform any additional work besides that what is set out in the legislation or in the constitution for us. So we don't perform any training, but we do make recommendations. And we do make recommendations, and we do identify root causes. And in these root causes and in these recommendations, we would at times, depending on the finding, and I'm just using it generically now, we would sometimes say that the staff are not adequately trained, or the staff are not adequately trained in the framework for financial statements or performance information, and we'd recommend that the staff be trained further. So there isn't any training that we would provide ourselves from the AG side. The third question related to the private firm and the relationship between myself and from between the AG and the firm that audits CIFA. The firm gets appointed in consultation with the AGSA, so they speak to us. But that report that comes from the firm doesn't come from the AG, because that report you would see is not a relationship where that firm is representing the AG. It's not. They are appointed in their private capacity or in that capacity. You see the legislation or the Public Audit Act, Section 4.3. It gives the Auditor General the discretion to, it may audit a public entity. So it's not like in the case of a department, it shall audit it. It may audit it. So in all instances, it doesn't audit all public entities, but we audit most of the public entities. But our relationship with the private audit firm is sort of a relationship of monitoring over them to ensure that the firm has been appointed in accordance with the proper prescripts, that the firm is not there for more than for a long, very long period, that firm is independent, it is objective. We also review the reports that emanate from the audit at times, and we also attend the audit committee. But that firm operates in its own capacity, and it does not represent the Auditor General there. Jefferson, I think I've tried to attend to all of the queries.
While you were responding, I saw the hand of Honorable Chance, and then I'll give Honorable Chance and then Honorable Mabas.
Thank you. Yes, I just want to probe a little bit on the issue of the Small Business Advisory Council, just because you are mandated to evaluate the annual performance plan and the implementation of the plan and the compliance with legislation. But the question then becomes, do you start first of all with the legislation and then see whether the annual performance plan is addressing each area of the legislation, or do you just start with the strategy and the plan and see if those strategies and plans comply with the relevant pieces of legislation? In which case, if you do the latter, then there may be parts of legislation that are totally ignored, such as this issue of the Small Business Advisory Council. So that really goes to the question of, you know, how fundamental do you go in your deliberations as to whether the department is actually implementing its policy mandate according to legislation? That then asks the question of, to what extent does the Auditor General interface with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation? Because obviously from a political perspective, you know, that's the department that is meant to be implementing elements of legislation, including the NDP and so on and so on. So, you know, how broad, how narrow do you interpret your mandate in terms of that process that I'm describing?
Honorable Mabasa.
Let me try to phrase my question again, although I've got some clarity on this private firm, because what I do not get very well is whether, because from where we stand as a committee, we want the department to be properly audited. So, assuming the worst scenario, assuming that it is an inferior firm that is doing that task, what will be the role of the AG's office? Because we don't want down the line one day to get an explanation that says, no, it's not we as AG, it's not us, it's them. Down the line, you know, that's, I think that's what we wouldn't be good. So I'm just asking that as a broad question, and also for uniformity's sake, so that when we speak of CEDA's performance, when we speak of the feedback that you are giving to them, the interrelationship, is that interrelationship also existent between yourself and CIFA, noting that there is the firm that we're speaking of? So if I could be just further clarified. Thanks, Chairperson.
Mr. Muller.
Thank you. Chairperson, with regard to the Small Business Council query, I think I can better, it's best for me to explain what we do when it comes to auditing the performance information. So the audit check to conclude on the annual performance report, because this is the only area that it can possibly impact on, is to look at whether the annual performance plan initially, if it's prepared in terms of the framework determined by the National Treasury, which is referred to as the Framework for Managing Program Performance Information, the FMPPI. So our assessment and our objective is to determine whether the annual performance plan is in compliance with that framework. And our tests are to check whether whether it is reported, whether there's consistency between planning and reporting documents, and whether the indicators and the targets are rather smart and whether are they well-defined. We don't have a specific audit check or a check to determine if all the necessary legislation that should be incorporated or which is linked to the mandate of the legislation is incorporated into the annual performance plan. There isn't a specific check. There is a check to determine that what is included in the annual performance plan is relevant to the mandate of the department, but not the other way around in terms of if all applicable legislation has been incorporated or all applicable legislation linked or which should be linked to the core mandate of the department is included in the annual performance plan. At best, I can perform it, even if it's to say, frankly, that it's not a procedure that we would perform to determine if all the applicable legislation that the department should comply with has been included specifically in the annual performance plan. So it's in the area of the annual performance plans where we would look at relevance in terms of if what's been included is relevant to the mandate of the department. It's at best that I can respond to that. However, maybe then if I could take the opportunity in terms of following that up during our audit space, that's at best what I can do now. Okay. So although it's not part of my mandate or it's not part of our check, we can, now that the information has come to light, we can follow up on those matters. So I would do it that way in going forward. In terms of your concerns regarding the quality of the audit firm that would perform the audit at CIFA, I think it's for that reason, not specifically that reason, but generally our move towards getting closer to entities that we have not audited before or do not audit, we appoint, remember I mentioned earlier that we appoint those auditors, or those auditors are appointed in consultation with the AG. So when those auditors are being appointed, actually we write back to the entities, for instance CIFA, to say that, listen, you've requested to appoint so and so firm as your auditors for 2016-17. We concur with that consultation, and the firm, CIFA will only appoint the auditors after they have consulted with us. So it's sort of seeking our permission to appoint. Um, so So when we are considering the audit firm, we take into consideration to what extent to the credibility of that firm, okay? And my understanding at the moment, SIFA uses a very credible audit firm to perform their audit work. So they have a good audit firm that performs their work at the moment. As well as my attendance of the audit committees is or the AG's representation at the audit committee, the AG's discussions with management, the AG's review of the audit work, of the audit report, as well as further monitoring checklists that are required. So there's a lot of quality checks in place to make sure that a proper audit firm is performing the work and that they've performed the work properly. Okay? Look, I cannot comment at this stage, but there is a move from the AGSA side to actually do these audits on our own going forward. You would see that previously the audit of the post office wasn't done by the AGSA. It is now done by the AGSA for the last 2 years. Airports Company South Africa, these were audits that were not initially done by the AGSA, but the AG took these audits back, or are doing these audits ourselves now. Okay? Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Muller. Was there any question directed to the department? None. Okay. I don't see any hands. It seems as if members are satisfied. I cannot say they're exhausted. They're satisfied with the So, in view of the satisfaction of honorable members, and then I would then think we have come to the end of the meeting, and we'd like to extend appreciation to AG for the information that he has given, and then the information that he has given the portfolio committee, the recommendations and what to do, and also appreciate that they've also committed that there are things that they will look at which were raised by the committee. And then also thank the department for being present, hoping that we'll see the department tomorrow where we are engaging on the annual report of the department and of SIFA. Honorable Mabasa.
Now that you are making closing remarks, Chair, I also want to add a word of appreciation to both. I believe I'm speaking for all PC members, to the Auditor General's office as well as the department for this fruitful engagement. Although our word is not the one that's described by the Chair of complete satisfaction, no, we are not at that level. We also wish to thank you, Secretary, for having facilitated the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, just for, tea will be served at 11. And then I will just request to have a meeting with the honorable members. Thank you.
King, I'm going to ask you to take over now.
Okay. okay, yeah. Okay, that's the name. Bloody Woodstock.